I draw your attention again this morning to the 23rd Psalm, and we will read the entire Psalm. A Psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let us pray. Again, Father, we come to you with thankfulness that we may study and open up your holy word. We thank you for the rich studies and the practicality of Psalm 23. We thank you that we can enter into not only the truth of your word, but into the very thinking of David as he considered himself a sheep and you as his shepherd. And certainly, O Lord God, we are the sheep of thy pasture. We are thy people. We come to thy word and we seek to be edified. We seek to rejoice in your goodness and loving kindness. We seek to be outfitted to live every day to your glory. And we pray that this study might be edifying. And we pray also it might be awakening to those who know not the Lord Jesus Christ, the saving grace in him and saving faith that obeys the gospel command. Bless our study. Glorify yourself. We glory in your truth in Jesus' name. Amen. In our last study, we dealt with verses 4 and 5, the evening and its evils. And we looked at the metaphor of the shepherd and the sheep in verse 4. Walking through the valley of the shadow of death, never ever fearing any evil, because we are one with the shepherd. We are together as one. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now our study of verse 5 this morning, and we are changing the metaphor to the metaphor or figure of the host and the guest. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Most change the metaphor at this point to the host and the guest. Our outline of this psalm would then be verses 1 and 2, the shepherd and the sheep, the key thought being provision. Verses 3 and 4, the guide and the traveler, the key thought being direction. And now in verse 5, the host and the guest, the key thought being communion. Follow with me now as we begin to open up and comment upon this passage of Scripture. The language here of table and cup, with the picture of a feast or banquet, the traditional anointing with oil, strongly suggests a change of metaphor. We will later see this equally applies to the shepherd and the sheep. But for our present study now, the host and the guest. Eastern hospitality for centuries, from before the time of our Lord, in recorded biblical history from the time of Abraham down to the time of our Lord and beyond. We find that a guest was protected in the tent of the host. These ancient civilizations took hospitality very, very seriously. It was not informal. One came under the protection of his host. While in the tent or palace of his host, he could not be harmed, even by his enemies, and this was rigorously observed. Perfumed oil was usually given to a distinguished guest for his refreshment in that desert climate. A cup was placed in his hands over a towel, and the wine was poured until it overran the cup. The cup literally overflowed, symbolizing that the guests could never exhaust the abundant hospitality of the host. This was a ritual. In our studies, we have noted that travelers and military leaders in the East, from Palestine to India, as late as the 19th century, wrote of these exact ceremonies when honored at the banquet of leaders, tribal leaders, or the palaces of native dignitaries. Extremely interesting, and giving to us the exact situation we find in Psalm 23. By application, we can say that David indicates that God treated him as an honored guest, and that he could not contain all of God's bounty and blessing. I want us to begin our study by contemplating the joy of justification. Now, justification is not an experience, but the contemplation of justification should be. Justification is the forensic act of God, a legal act of God, whereby, through the imputed righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, the sinner is justified or declared right in his sight through faith alone. Well, what then is the experience of the joy of justification? I refer to Martin Luther, at the time an Augustinian monk, living in seclusion in a monastery, flagellating himself with a whip, beating himself, leaving bruises and perhaps drawing blood, seeking peace with God. And it dawned on him in the middle of one of these exercises, the just shall live by faith. And this truth, the contemplation of it, absolutely transformed his life. The joy of justification, contemplating our justified state before God, rejoicing that we have been declared just in his sight, for through justification by faith flow all of the experiences of the believer. We are just before God, and we receive his blessing. In our examination of the text, we have four considerations. First, look at the words of verse 5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. In Oriental societies, a guest was protected by his host, in whose tent or palace he was safe. Enemies might be promised, and they might be present, but all hostilities were laid aside on such occasions, and the honored guest was under the protection of the host. Armed guards might even stand at the corners of the banquet hall or tent to make sure that all the proper ceremonies and protection were observed. David views God treating him again as an honored guest at his table. The meal was sumptuous. It was leisurely. The table was filled with the very best of prepared foods and rich desserts. Everything was proper, and it expressed the openness and generosity of the host. In the presence of the host, nothing was to cause disturbance or be counter to the full enjoyment of the banquet. Making application to us as believers, in our Christian experience, oftentimes we dwell upon the trials, the testing of our faith. We dwell upon our adversities. We think of spiritual warfare. And in one aspect, the Christian experience is one of spiritual warfare. But it is also one when there are times of blessedness, of leisure in God's presence, and partaking of His unmitigated blessing. Like the sheep in the lush green pastures, led beside the still waters, resting and ruminating. So God has ordained that we have times of contemplation, times of prayer, and times of rejoicing in His presence, singing hymns, reciting passages of Scripture, feasting on their promises, times of enjoyment in the presence of God. We should not let such times escape us or be overpowered or preoccupied by the trials and adversities of the walk of faith. God never shortchanges His own. His grace is without limit. And oftentimes we experience the grace of God in trial and adversity, and we also experience the unmitigated grace of God in times of spiritual leisure and contemplation when our souls are restored. I want to consider the term exceeding when referring to us as believers. Let me read some short extracts from Scripture, something of a spiritual banquet, as it were. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And by their prayer for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you. Ephesians chapter 2. That in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Ephesians chapter 3. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. 1 Timothy chapter 1. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. 2 Peter chapter 1. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. God, if I may use the term, is never stingy in His grace. God ministers to us. Like David, we can be in the banquet hall with God, partaking of His bounty, refreshed in our spirits, restored in our souls, brought to prayer and meditation and rejoicing in the Lord. Thou preparest a table before me. And now our second consideration, in the presence of mine enemies. The host governed the banquet table, and no enemy was allowed to disrupt the joy and the festivities of the banquet. Everyone was under the protection of the host. we have enemies. David had enemies throughout his entire life, many years pursued by Saul. David, as a shepherd, had the lion and the bear, the wolf. And even as a king, he had those who spoke against him. We also have our enemies. And our great adversary, the devil, seeks to conquer us and to defeat us when he does not walk about like a roaring lion to devour. He seeks to seduce us through the subtlety of the serpent. When we feed upon God's word, when we are in prayer, when we receive spiritual nourishment and enjoyment, the Lord keeps Satan at bay. Let us learn to enjoy the times of spiritual feasting and the banquet that God has given to us by His Spirit and His Word. Think about this for a moment. Satan is at work where he can do the most harm and damage. We don't look for him on Skid Row. We don't look for him necessarily in the homeless communities. We don't look for him in houses of prostitution. We will find him most often in the church, where he can do the most damage and seek to thwart the work of God. Jealousy, anger, self-will, division, doctrinal differences that disrupt. These are among his most favored weapons. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Our third consideration now, thou anointest my head with oil. Perfumed oil was given at these feasts in ancient times in that desert climate to cool, refresh, and moisten the hair and the beard. These would become stiff, brittle, and now they were smoothed with oil, and the perfume would fill the banquet table. This was part of Eastern hospitality. Not to perform these things was considered an insult to the guest. I want to illustrate this in a negative fashion. In an incident in our Lord's life and ministry from Luke chapter 7, if you would like to follow along. Luke chapter 7, in verses 16 and 17 of this chapter, our Lord had just raised a young man from the dead, the widow of Nain's son. This caused a tremendous reaction among the people. And there came a fear on all. And they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us. That is our point of consideration. A great prophet is risen up among us. God hath visited his people. And this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea and throughout all the region round about. Now we come to verse 36. Some days have passed. A Pharisee invites our Lord to dinner. It is evidently a public affair, probably after Sabbath worship, when bystanders from the public were able to stand about and view the people at the banquet and listen perhaps to their conversation. One of these was an immoral woman, and she took things into hand. Verse 36, and one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down. If you have access to your Greek New Testament, you'll see that he was seated, past tense. Someone seated him at that table. He didn't choose the place. Someone chose it for him, and it was evidently not the favored place of the guest. This was a trial. Was he really a prophet? This was to try him, as the Pharisees often did. We read on. And behold, a woman in that city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him. They were inclining, facing one another, and their feet behind them. She came behind them and stood at his feet weeping and began to wash his feet with tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with ointment. The woman's heart was filled with repentance and faith. She had heard our Lord preach. Her heart was changed. She saw that nothing was done. Our Lord was not honored. He was not seated in the place of the honored guest. They were there to try him, to pick on him, to see if he were really a prophet or no. When she saw that nothing was done for our Lord, she took matters into her own hand. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet," which evidently he is not, "would know who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner." She evidently was notorious in that locality. This shows he's not a prophet. That is the thinking of the Pharisee in this trial when our Lord was brought into the feast and just sat down, perhaps at the far end of the table. "If he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touches him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus answering said unto Simon, "I have somewhat to say unto thee." And he said, "Master, say on." He is pretending to be the gracious host, which he is not. "There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most?" Simon answered and said, "I suppose that he, to whom he forgave most." And our Lord said unto him, "Thou hast rightly judged." And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, "Seest thou this woman?" No, he didn't. He never saw the woman. He saw a sinner. He saw a notorious individual. He didn't see the woman, her personality. He didn't take into account her tears, the change of heart, the change of life that had come to her by grace from sitting under our Lord's ministry. "Seest thou this woman? I entered into thy house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet." The feet were dirty, walking in the dirt and the dust of the streets and the trails. The sandals were taken off, the feet were washed. "But she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment." She saw, she observed that our Lord was not given the very basic elements of hospitality. So she intruded and gave them to our Lord out of the fullness of her transformed heart. "Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that setteth meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace." Many a time our Lord was invited to sit at a Pharisee's table during his ministry. And the scribes and Pharisees sat there to question him, to find some contradiction, or to have it revealed to all that he was not the prophet. This woman saw the utter lack of respect and hospitality and intruded with fullness of heart and showed him the common courtesies in that culture. in the hot, dry climate of the East. A guest was honored by pouring perfumed oil over his head and beard. God created David as an honored guest, and he does the same for us, does he not? Our gracious God sustains us and blesses us with effusions of his Spirit for our comfort, our well-being, and for our service. Have you read of Charles Haddon Spurgeon? In his early ministry at the Surrey Music Hall, preaching on Sunday morning and Sunday evening to upwards of 10,000 people, the young preacher, Bible in hand, would walk up to the pulpit, and under his breath he was repeating, "I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in the Holy Ghost." And God was with him in the pulpit and in his preaching. And so God ministers to us in our service for him. In the needs that we have, he grants us the ministry of his Spirit. God is the gracious host to every true believer. And now the fourth and final consideration. My cup runneth over. It was an ancient custom for the host to place a cup in the hands of the guest at the beginning of the feast with a towel underneath and fill his cup until it overflowed, symbolically declaring that the guest could not contain all the hospitality and abundance of the host. David realized that he could not contain the divine bounty. What a picture of God's great kindness and blessing upon his own. He treats us, even common believers, as honored guests. We get to taste the dainties and sweetness of his table. We feast upon his word. We claim his promises, and we wonder at our God's goodness and grace. This is quite a different picture of the Christian life than many would draw, but it is an inspired portrait of God's treatment to his own beloved children, his sons and daughters, who are his through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who are his through the ministry of the word, who are his through the ministry of God's Spirit, edifying, strengthening, and equipping for service. How have you fared at the hand of a gracious and loving God? Has he been your host? Does he equip you? Does he satisfy you? Do you have times of leisure in his presence as you feed upon his word, as you sing hymns to his glory, and as you pray and rejoice in his presence? And what of those who are unconverted, who view from afar the banquet table of the gospel? Has not the Lord brought the gospel into your hearing and into your seeing? Has he not presented you with divine truth? What more can you ask? Respond to his invitation. Turn from your sin. Repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. This is the goodness of the grace of God. Do not sin against it. Turn to the Lord Jesus from your sins in repentance to him in faith. Sue for peace and sit at God's banquet table and know the bounty of saving grace. Father, bless, we pray, this short study in Psalm 23. Might we grasp its richness and its glory and its goodness, and might we be drawn to thee, to to enjoy the dainties of the Word of God and of the teaching of the Spirit at the banquet table of the Most High. This we commit to you in Jesus' name. Amen.